Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast on Tuesday, February the 24th. Coming up, a group of swimmers are worried about sewage in the sea at Hythe. A Kent campaigner reacts to government plans to reform SEM provision in schools, and the bosses of a Kent vineyard tell us how they've been impacted by the very wet start to 2026. But first in today's episode, a man's due in court charged with murder almost 4 years after the death of a baby in Ramsgate. The 13-week-old boy was taken to hospital after emergency crews were called to an address in the town in July 2022. He passed away the same day. 24-year-old Tyler Warmby from Prestedge Avenue is also accused of causing grievous bodily harm with intent. A sex offender from Ashford has been told he'll spend the next 28 years behind bars. A court heard Kevin Wernham preyed on young victims and plied one with alcohol. The 54-year-old, who lives at a caravan park in Aldington, refused to attend his sentencing after being found guilty following a trial. Now, this is one of our most read stories on the website today. Swimmers say they're anxious about going in the sea at Hythe because of the amount of sewage being discharged into the water. The group regularly travel from Ashford to swim at sunrise, but say they've seen an increasing number of objects floating in the water. I've been chatting to Rebecca Owen, who's a member of the swimming yoga group.
For the most part, we kind of keep half an eye on the Surface Against Sewage app. Just to kind of, we try and take reasonable measures. So when we are swimming, if there's been particularly heavy rain through the summer, say, you might have a little look at it. If there's been a particularly long discharge or it's quite close to when you intend to swim, we might decide to delay it. For the most part, we keep faces out of the water. And that seems to, so far, have kept us, you know, relatively safe. And like I say, I don't tend to keep an eye on the app constantly. You kind of keep an eye on the weather more than anything. But we became aware of the fact that particularly since Christmas, there seems to be a continuing level of pumping out in the sea at Hythe.
Are you seeing anything in the water, like when you go in, or is it more that you're just aware that the sewage has been pumped into the sea?
So on occasion you do see stuff in the water, but it's a really difficult situation to risk assess. I work in healthcare. I like to work evidence-based, show me the study. I like facts. And assessing the risk at the coast is a really tricky thing to do. You might, at times, when there's been a heavy rain or a storm, you might see small detritus, you know, bits of wood, you know, stuff that's obviously just washed off the roads. Because what you're getting there, my understanding of this, although I've not spoken to Southern Water directly, is there's an issue where you're potentially getting mixed water that's going in there. So maybe some of it is actual sewage. A lot of it is runoff. There's an issue with runoff in terms of, you know, chemicals and fertilizers and nasty things that, you know, we all are aware of in flood water. But what you would see in the water, because that particularly the main pipe at Hythe that seems to be doing most of the discharging is quite a way out, is on certain tides, you might suddenly think, God, it's just bitty. You know, it's leaves and wood. And what that triggers in your mind is you then think, well, there's been a discharge because this has come off of the road. This is not, you know, from the sea. And then you have that question in the back of your mind of the unknown quantity. What else that you can't see potentially is mixed in with that water?
And of course, this winter has been just so incredibly wet. Have you noticed things have been worse since you've been going down there this year?
Well, I've certainly, the rate of monitored discharges, so the rate of discharges that have been picked up on both Southern Water's own system and on the Surface Against Sewage app is exponentially more.
Obviously, Rebecca, you feel that going into the sea and doing this open water swimming is hugely beneficial to you. Where do you get to the point where you think, am I actually benefiting from being in this water? Do you ever feel like that at all?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I think I get to the point where I would probably double check things before I let my children get in the sea. I'm probably at that point, you know. I would reconsider if I had friends or family that were immunocompromised, you know, that kind of situation. I get a lot from it. And I know lots of people who don't like the sea, don't like cold water, and certainly wouldn't consider paddling in sewage, would think we're all absolutely balmy. But the benefits that I'm getting at the moment as an individual, as an adult, I'm making the choice to sanitize my hands as soon as I get out, have a shower as soon as I get home, you know, wash my own clothes, don't let anyone touch my wet stuff. Like I'm taking measures that means that I can still do the thing that I love to do with people that I care about and who also love to do it.
Now, according to Surfers Against Sewage charity, the number of sewage alerts off Hythe Beach has surged to 991 so far this year. That's almost double the amount seen across the whole of 2025. Well, Southern Water say the issue is due to the amount of rainfall we've had this winter, and they've sent us this statement.
Our storm release system protects homes, schools and businesses from flooding in areas where runoff from highways and roofs goes into our sewage system and not separate surface water drains. We're investing £1.5 billion between 2025 and 2030 to reduce reliance on this system.
Now, last year, Hythe was given an excellent water quality rating by the Environment Agency, but Dymchurch on Romney Marsh, which is about 5 miles away, was handed a poor score for the second year running, meaning a no swim warning is in place.
Kent Online News.
A Tunbridge man who carried out a string of offences over a three-year period has been jailed for 36 weeks. A court heard Bobby Thorpe stole belongings from cars, abused his neighbour and used stolen bank cards between January 2022 and December last year. The 33-year-old from Royal West Kent Avenue pleaded guilty to 24 offences and was found guilty of one more. An investigation's been launched after a large pile of rubbish was dumped in a country lane near Sittingbourne. The waste was spotted on School Lane in Eyewade on Sunday evening. Council bosses say they've organised for it to be cleaned up and will work to prosecute anyone responsible for fly tipping. There are calls for traffic calming measures to be introduced on a road in Maidstone following a number of near misses. It's a 30 mile per hour limit on Sittingbourne Road between Bearsted Road and Wat Tyler Way, but it's claimed drivers are often going faster. Well, the County Council say current data doesn't indicate a widespread speeding problem, but they have offered to carry out a traffic survey. Now, a Kent campaigner's told us she has some concerns over the government's plans to reform the special educational needs system. Yesterday, they announced a £4 billion package and say more youngsters with SEN will be taught in mainstream schools by offering things like language therapists and specialist teacher training. Well, we've been getting reaction from Lisa Lloyd from Aylesford, who has two SEN children. She's not convinced the reforms go far enough.
I don't agree with the EHCPs being removed for children with lower care needs. I'd like to know who's going to be deciding who has more severe needs than another child, because obviously children with disabilities and learning difficulties and things like that all have very, very different needs. And it's not a scale of mild to severe. I do think that obviously mainstreams do need to have better SEND provisions in them, which is a good thing, but this shouldn't be instead of SEND schools, and this should not be taking away EHCPs from children for them to have a SEND provision within a mainstream. It should be alongside the EHCPs, and that's where it would work best with the best support for these children. The £4 billion sounds like a lot, but when you actually spread it out across all the schools, it's actually quite a small amount. And I don't know how they plan to provide this amount of training to teachers who are already overworked and underpaid. So I don't know how they're going to be able to take on this level of training on top of what they already do.
Kent Online reports.
Dame Tracy Emmons got involved in a row on socials after a Kent County councillor threatened to pull funding for Margate's Turner Contemporary Art Gallery. David Wimble was reacting to posts from the East Thanet MP Polly Billington, who'd accused Reform UK of peddling false figures after claiming they'd made savings of almost £40 million. Well, now the artist, who grew up in the town, has said KCC should speak with local restaurants and shops to see how they would be impacted. Well, following the row, the County Council has issued a statement saying it remains committed to supporting the Turner. We've been hearing from the bosses of a Kent vineyard about how they've been impacted by the wet start to the year. Bosses at Nucleus Winery at Fort Borstal say heavy and persistent rainfall can wash nutrients away from the soil and hamper harvesting efforts. They've recently planted hundreds of new vines. Well, Kate has spoken to Kevin Ward from Nucleus Winery.
We're quite lucky with our drainage, so generally that's not too much of an issue for us. I think with the, as you said, you know, it's unseasonable or very unseasonal for us when we usually have fairly even sort of periods throughout the year, seasonally. And this is very much what was happening in Europe over the last few years. Very, very cold winters, very, very hot summers, which has sort of hampered, their wine production or their grape growing. Which is why the UK has become such a great place over the last few years, because we haven't suffered from that. So hopefully this is just a blip, but it can affect, certainly for young vines, more so than established vines, and at certain times of the year, heavy rainfall, certainly when we're flowering, or strong winds when we're flowering, can really affect the amount of produce we get. If all the flowers are getting blown off, because they self-pollinate vines. There's lots of different challenges. It's trying to mitigate it where we can, using windbreaks, to try and protect them, making sure our drainage is as good as it can be, and just hoping there's not too much of it, because there's things outside of our control. It can, too much rain can wash away too much of the nutrients in the ground. So how we try and get those back into the ground in the best way possible. It does throw up some challenges, and so we're very new to this. So we have support from a well-established vineyard company who helps us manage the vines. So we're in good hands, but I think it's the same for everyone at the moment.
Kevin owns and runs the vineyard with his wife, Nikki, who's also been chatting to us.
Yield is one of the things, isn't it, that will be impacted if we have too much rain or not enough rain, too much sun. It impacts on the amount that will be produced. We would just like our young vines to get a fighting chance. They've had a pretty rough ride so far, to be honest with you. When they went in, it was quite damp. Last year, it was too hot for them, and we've had quite a lot of water. So, the extremes, as Kevin's discussed, have been the things that have been the challenge. Hopefully, if they manage to survive all of that, they'll prove their worth. But we're new to this as well, aren't we? So we're learning all the time and relying on advice from Vineworks, who tell us what we need to do, and telling us that, have you talked about us being set back a year by the fact we were hoping to be a year ahead of ourselves. We've had to go back, and they call it going back to two buds. So we've had to take the vines back to an earlier stage than we would like them to be, which means that's put us a year behind in any kind of production. So disappointing on a business front. We want to get it right, though. We don't want to take a chance and have the vines in a situation or a condition that doesn't produce good wine and good fruit. No one wants there to be a bad English wine. So we've taken advice and taken it on the chin that's a year behind. But when it arrives, it'll be hopefully much better quality. So
I imagine at the moment, you just mentioned, you want your little saplings to have sort of the best opportunity that they can. It's almost like being a parent. You have this tiny wee little thing, yeah. and you're caring for it so much, and you want so much for it to thrive. It's difficult when you can't give it those best conditions.
Definitely, with the best will in the world, we can't control the weather. We can do as much as we can. We put in windbreaks because it is a naturally windy place, which is good. For it to have a good throughput of wind is good, but you just need to protect them. As you say, we've got almost 20,000 babies out there, and we can't do very much to help them other than try and stop the weeds from tackling them, and try and hope that climate is kind at some point.
Elsewhere, people living on the edge of a village in Medway have launched a campaign to try and stop streetlights from being installed. Residents on Fen Street near St Mary Hoo say it would impact wildlife and spoil the rural character of the area. The lights are being considered as part of road improvements linked to a new 44-home development. Medway Council say no decision has been made just yet. A pub landlord near Ashford who bought a black cab to give his customers a lift home for free has been ordered to stop by the the council. Paul Hartfield, who runs the Flying Horse in Smarden, set up the initiative in November, with passengers being encouraged to give a donation to charity. Bosses say it's not allowed as he doesn't have a licence. Work's underway to install more than 200 solar panels on the council offices in Sittingbourne. We're told they'll be able to produce almost half of the electricity needed to power Swale House every year. They also help cut the authorities' carbon footprint. A school near Maidstone has been forced to close for a second day because of a water outage. The problem was discovered at Barming Preschool and Primary yesterday morning. Around 500 children go there. MP Helen Grant is urging South East Water to urgently fix the issue.
Kent Online reports.
Next on the podcast, and a dental practice has opened on a new build estate in North Kent after hundreds of residents called for one. Smile Tech Dentals opened a branch at the Prep Rooms in Castle Hill, which is part of the Ebbsfleet Garden City development. Now, the idea is for the Prep Rooms to become a bit of a one-stop shop for people living there, and it was launched by Sam Bott last summer. He's now joined forces with Caroline Short, who already owns the Smile Tech business at Bluewater Shopping Centre. And they've both been speaking to our reporter, Alex Langridge.
Sam approached me via one of our suppliers.
Yeah.
And said he's got an opportunity to open up a new dental practice in Ebbsfleet. And he was looking at kind of doing this one-stop shop, and he wanted to get the best people in to do the job for the dentistry. Because we've been operating in Bluewater for such a long time, we've got 14,000 patients, we've got hundreds of five-star reviews, we've got world-class dentists that have worked in America and Dubai, done over 5,000 implants, so he thought we'd be the best partner to come in with to bring those services to people in Ebbsfleet. Yeah.
Yeah, I think from my side, obviously, and the kind of initial concept of making it a one-stop shop, kind of health kind of centre, wellbeing hub. So I wanted to partner with someone that's been doing dentistry for a long time. So Caroline started Smartec in 2015, has been practicing dentistry since 2009. So got a lot of experience and only hires the best dentists in the UK, as well as globally as well, really.
Yeah. It's like bringing world-class dentistry to your doorstep, and yeah, we just think everyone deserves to see the best people and have the best experience.
I think you said there about kind of creating this one-stop shop here, about, you know, you've got the hairdressers and nail salon, now sort of the dentistry. People maybe say, you know, how's that working? How's that going to work? Kind of, what would you maybe say to them? Because it is clearly going to work, it is working.
I think when you've got these massive new developments happening, obviously you've got a kind of captive audience, haven't you, around you. People have asked for these services. You did a survey, didn't you, Sam?
Yeah, initially when the kind of first kind of thought of the concept of the prep rooms many years ago, it was actually we did surveys in the local community of what the actual community want to see, be seen in these units. And it was essentially dental, GP, hair, nails, beauty. So that's where the idea came to put it all as a one-stop shop. So it's really like a convenience for people that are living in Ebbsfleet and the surrounding areas. They can come here, you know, can get their nails done, their hair done. We have a fantastic beautician in, and as well get their dental everything, one-stop shop for dentistry, isn't it?
It is, and you know, dentistry is a need, it's not a want. So people come to the hairdressers, you know, to make their hair look nice, but it's not actually a need. These kind of communities really need GP and dental services, especially with, you know, it's very difficult sometimes to get in with NHS, especially if you've just moved to the area. They can't accept any more patients because they're quite overwhelmed. So offering these types of things to people that are very, very local, and especially if they're very, very good services, it's just fantastic for everybody.
Sir Trevor MacDonald has pulled out of an appearance at the Faversham Literary Festival. The broadcaster was due to give a talk this evening, but has had to cancel due to illness. Warhorse author Michael Morpurgo and singer Bob Geldof are among the other celebs involved in the 10-day event. And of course, we do wish Sir Trevor a very speedy recovery. It's the day we finally get to see Danny Dyer's reality show that was filmed on Sheppey. It sees the star and his daughter take over a caravan park in Laysdown, dealing with dodgy plumbing and demanding customers. It was filmed by the same team behind Clarkson's Farm and is on Sky One. And Pink Panthers has become the first woman to receive the Brit Awards Producer of the Year prize. The 24-year-old from Canterbury is also the youngest artist to receive it. Last year, she released her mixtape Fancy That and remix album Fancy Some More. The Brits take place in Manchester on Saturday.
Kent Online Sports.
Football and London City Lionesses have been knocked out of the Women's FA Cup. The side, who train in Aylesford, lost 9-8 in a dramatic penalty shootout against Tottenham last night after their game finished 2-2 in extra time. Spurs will now face Chelsea in the last eight. Staying with football, and Gillingham's Marcus Wiley has gone out on loan for the rest of the season. The striker hasn't played a league game for the Gills in 4 months and has moved to national south side Ebbsfleet United. And finally, in tennis, Kent's Emma Raducanu has followed in the footsteps of Roger Federer by ditching Nike for Japanese clothing brand Uniqlo. The British number one from Orpington is getting a lot of interest from sponsors despite not winning a tournament since her US Open victory in 2021. And next competition is expected to be at Indian Wells in March. Well, that's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials. Plus, you can get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up to that, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And whilst you're on the website, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium. That gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.